What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
What up, 4 o'clock hour? Jay Foreman, my man Harrison is in the from the bullpen. And to my left is the OG from old school, DP. We're coming at you live, 1040 O Street, with a lot of stuff. DP, we covered the new coaching hires. Obviously, it was chaos this weekend and just in all sports.
What? New coaches? Where? Who? Why haven't I heard about this?
Yeah, we talked about it, what it means. I always said that my biggest point was this. Like, I know in the locker room, you know, sometimes your immature mind could be like, okay, this guy's going to – you got a new coach. It's fixed it just because you got a new coach. But you can't. You gotta be remorseful because you know this. You've been around the business. Coaches got families. They got to go relocate, get new schools and all that. But you got to take accountability. The whole team is part of the reason why coaches get let go.
I heard the funniest thing this morning. It was hilarious to me. Jay, you will appreciate this. You will get this. He goes, it's kind of like all of college athletics got a new stepdaddy.
Yeah.
He said, you sitting at home, manage your business. You got rules you got to work from. You know, you got a schedule. Yeah. You know what's on the menu. You know what they feed you. All of a sudden, mom come home and there's a new uncle.
Yeah.
There's a new uncle.
Yeah.
There's some new rules.
Yeah, and just sometimes you might not like those rules, so you got to be careful what you know.
What we doing, Mom?
Yeah, what you doing.
What we doing?
But it's an opportunity to get right. It's an opportunity to get right, boy. You better get right quick.
Don't you mess this up for us.
Yeah. Like, we in this together. That's my – I think if I took over rules, this is what we got to do. It's not about what you get paid. It's so we all get paid. Oh. It's actually an NFL model. I'll never forget when I was a rookie, we had a coach named Bill Bradley. He was a really good safety from Texas, really good player, really good coach too. And he'd always had this dip in his mouth. In his mouth. And he'd get mad, he'd do this thing with his hand. He's like, you about to get me fired. He's like, you going to get me fired. You going to get me divorced because my wife's going to be mad. She likes Buffalo. I was laughing. I said, boy, you better tighten up because if it comes down to him getting fired and you getting cut, you gone. But you know, a lot of stuff turned over, here in Nebraska. And so, we'll see what happens. If anything else happens with the defensive staff after, you know, the coordinator gets here.
Well, can I ask you from the defensive side of the ball?
Yeah.
As a linebacker playing under a certain system, under certain coaches, certain drills, certain practices, you know what they want from your body type. You know what their off season is like. You know what the expectations are, how the meetings are going to be run, all that stuff. And then you get the notice that, hey, there's a new defensive coordinator. What goes through the head of a player, especially somebody? Because in this day and age, everybody's a free agent again.
Oh, yeah. And that's different from the NFL. You don't got no choice.
Right.
Yeah.
But in college, now you're a free agent.
Every year.
Because you could go.
Yeah, like, you could go in the portal.
What's in your head?
Number one is, like, do I fit? You always wonder. Now, it depends on where you're at in your career, right? I mean, obviously, if you're an established player.
Let's say you're a junior who started last year.
Yeah, then I feel very comfortable where I'm at, unless it's, like, a total, philosophy, difference, and he just says, I don't want you to play. Then, I'll go play somewhere else. I think generally as a player, you really want to meet him. Talk to him, feel him out, see if you're his type of player, see if he's like one of the, like, I remember when Urban Meyer came in, every coach says it, once I'm the head coach here, you're all my guys, and see if that holds true. And then schematic wise, you got to have some hard talks with yourself or find somebody that can tell you the honest to God truth, do you fit in this type of scheme? And then you got to look at the scheme, and then you got to kind of project the depth chart. Now, obviously the portal does change that, and then see where you're at based on your playing history.
How does the new coordinator get a depth chart walking in the door?
Well, okay, so you go from you got a 3-3-5.
Yeah.
Right? So both defenses generally have two stacked linebackers. But just say this new coach comes in and he's running a true 4-3.
Yeah.
That means there's three stack linebackers. Mm-hmm. And what I mean stack linebackers, you're behind the line of scrimmage, you're playing off the ball, kind of like Ohio State or whatever they do, or Oregon or whatever, and all teams run nickel or whatever, right? So then you say, okay, well, Jay's, you know, like say for me, I played middle for, and say going to my junior year, I've been starting for 3 years. Okay, I'm there. Okay, then you had Farley at the will. Okay, if I'm a younger player, do I fit into a Sam linebacker? Do I fit into a Jack role if they play a 4-2-5? Or if I'm like Farley, can I be the joker position and not play the true stack linebacker and just go to the playmaking position? And then you have two true linebackers in there. This kind of depends what his philosophy is. So
they don't want you to play where you want to play?
I got experience with that. I got experience.
That's why I asked.
I got experience with that, man. And you know what? It really saved my career. It really did. So the first 3 years in Buffalo, I played in the 3-4. Now, that was a drastic change for me because I played 4-3 in college. True 4-3.
Mm-hmm.
3-4 is different because it was straight up knuckle up. Like, you going up against the guard and you got to make plays because it was it was a 0 and 2 5s. And then here comes Greg, came in with the 4-3, and they kind of ran a little bit of Harrison, the old 46 front where they'd put like Otis Wilson on the line.
Well, he was a safety who liked to hit.
Yeah, so but he's a linebacker.
Right.
But you on the line and you're blitzing and doing all that stuff. Well, at one point in time, we still had Sam Coward, right? And Sam unfortunately got hurt. And then so we shifted around, but originally they had me playing, which I didn't mind playing Sam because I played all the positions in the 3-4. Mm-hmm. So I could play on the ball. I could play off the ball.
That's how you made the team.
But originally they had Keith Newman, who was a really good linebacker. We were actually in the same draft class, and he played strong side 3-4 outside linebacker, and I was on the weak side. They had me behind him. So you have two guys, it's like having two freshmen backing each other, you know, one starting and backing them up. And I'm like, hold on. Like, hey, you know, brother got to get paid, you know what I mean? You know? And so I talked to my agent, and he talked to the GM, and then I had met with Jerry Gray and Greg just real briefly. And I said, hey, put me, you know, I need to, you know, play Will. And it worked out really well because I was able to play Will and then take off from there.
I always find it interesting.
But you can get lost there, though.
Well, the fact that the transition of how this thing works, how it worked 3 years ago versus now.
Yeah.
And that freshmen sometimes will choose a program or a school because of the coach.
Yeah.
And then you make that decision to change, not recognizing that when you make that change, you're literally causing chaos.
Right.
Then it becomes the established players. Well, do they feel safe? Because you know what? Maybe they know that dude behind me is actually better than I.
Right.
Right. Because that happens. Right. That I'm just out here because I'm the coach's favorite.
Yeah.
But how do you build the depth chart in a transfer portal era at Nebraska? How do you go through? Because that means you got to watch all the tape.
Yeah.
You may or may not want the coaches in that group in your room. You may decide, you know what? I want a different linebacker.
Yeah.
Like that's also, so do you listen to him because he has the most tape?
Yeah. The first year, obviously he's a younger coordinator, so I can't speak for him, but just going off of, was he 38 years old or something, 36, 38 years old, you know, very young, but that doesn't mean he has knowledge. He played linebacker, so he knows, you know, a little bit about, you know, every level. You know, the first year is hard to kind of come in and start clipping people, in my opinion. So they know the guys better. You know, I'm not a big believer, especially, you know, since he's a young coordinator. It's like, okay, who can you bring with? You're just new in the game anyways, versus if you're 50-some, you've been, you know, pretty well traveled. But that doesn't mean he doesn't have people that he feels comfortable with. But the coaches now know the players better than him. You got to watch your tape. You got to probably really articulate your body types or what skill set. Forget the body types at this point. Okay. What skill point? What do you need from your middle linebacker? What do you need from your will linebacker? What do you need from your strong side defensive end? What you need from your open side defensive end? What do you need from your nose and your tackle and everything else? And then they can kind of come back and give you a list. Okay, this is where
you're
at. And
then do you have it? Like, have this in the cupboard?
Do we or not? But also, I think part of the thing is that you got to feel that on the assumption of what Coach Rhule said when Coach Butler was let go versus him being hired, that he can make chicken salad out of any chicken you know what here. Mm-hmm. So that's not even just go get me the guys and I'll make it work. It's kind of, and so it's like the old Dom Capers. Sometimes we ran base 3-4. Sometimes we ran like Blitzburg. Sometimes we played 4-3 fronts. It was just kind of based on who we had.
And who we were playing,
how we were actually playing. And so that's where you want from any coaches, just take the guys and make the most of them, because now you can look at talent on a roster. It's great. Ohio State, obviously, and they have a different roster than the majority of the people. But really, when you get out of that 1%, it's the 99% of the guys have about the same roster, right, as far as talent-wise. Now, depth is an issue at certain other places. But, when you're lack of depth at – I can't even say like a lower end power, FBS school.
Well, that is the difference. It's
the depth, but where you really need to cook at is like, okay, if you take from 16 top 16 teams, just put them over here, mm-hmm. right? And you can even throw a couple magical years in there.
Yeah.
So 18. To even 56.
Okay.
So you're all about the same. So then you got, forget the rankings, forget all that stuff. Because you've seen, obviously, in Indiana and other places, Northwestern, that if you just get the culture right, which they have over there, but get the guys and the guys have to buy into it, that we have to like literally work in the dark. When the lights come on, it's really, really special. Because we just saw it this last weekend.
So the top 8 players on a roster is the difference between the 4 teams that don't have to play next, right? The 4
teams. Yeah, about 8 to 10, right? 8, maybe 12. Right? Because those guys are multipliers. Okay, here's a great point by you. So if everybody has a top 8 to 10, right? Now, granted, Jeremiah Smith and all these. Okay, those are like Randy Moss and stuff like that. So let's just take him out of it. These are your top 8 to 10 players. Those guys that are missing or not playing in the first college football playoff game, those guys are probably multipliers by 6. So that means each of them
they're going to fill not only that 10 through 50, they're also going to make that 50 through 75 better.
Right.
Because they're going to get you a dude who's willing to come there and sit and wait because he knows, oh, that's Jay Foreman.
Right.
Like, I'll come here and learn. I'm going to get mine after Jake gets his,
and
it'll be cool.
And when they're in practice, Jeremiah Smith is holding the redshirt freshman that's the next in line accountable as he is Carnell Tate.
Well, that's Jefferson, Chase.
Right.
All them dudes.
Right. Neighbors stayed, and all that. That's
stayed,
it, right
they
there.
Stayed in line.
So right? That's the multiplier right there. So that's the difference between them and here. Now, how do you make up that difference? And so say, like, if they're multipliers by, like, 8, and then say, like, we're, like, the rest from, like, 18 to, like, say, like, 48 are. And say you're only a multiplier anywhere from, like, 2. And in the teams that are up closer to 18 or 6. Well, how do you go from 2 to 6? Well, then you know what that is? That's turn the lights off and let's get to work.
One also has to be – there is the possibility that you have a Joe Burrow that's sitting in your 50 simply waiting his turn, right? And he could go left or right.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he could become one of the 8 to 10, or he could become just another dude. Gets lost in the space. But it happens. Alex Smith was another one of those guys, right? That if you – there's no metric for him going from the third-team quarterback at Utah to being the number one draft pick. Same skill set, opportunity, right, location, development, all those other things. So
yeah, and everybody chooses to level up with each other. It can't be you guys level here, so then I go here. It's got to be we go here.
You know what I give you how the difference works. And Bill Bush was a part of that staff at Utah.
Yeah.
That what they did. I mean, Brent Elliott is a name. That's the guy that actually got in the NFL, right? He was the number one guy because he checked all those sexy boxes. But there's an Alex Smith sitting there waiting, who's a cerebral giant.
Yeah.
Generally. Yeah. And then he connects himself with, he goes in and it's Jordan Gross who's ends up being right? Who's the legitimate
Shut down tackle.
And he goes, okay, explain to me what you're thinking so I understand. And you go, oh. And then you know who he's throwing to in the offseason? Steve Smith.
Yeah.
Right? Who's feeding into him.
Right.
Because Alex Smith is willing to go and throw 200 more balls than Brett Elliott.
Yeah. Yeah, it happens that way. I mean, you can it's the rep count. I always talk about it from Lincoln to Omaha and what they do in the offseason versus here. That's when you get out in the game. It's just like they look just different. And, you know, so that's where, you know, whoever comes in, obviously, in coaches, you have a great opportunity here if you have that type of mindset. It's got to be process-oriented. It can't – there is not – you know, my analogy is this. Right? You know, like I grew up watching – obviously, everybody watched Rocky. So you saw Rocky 1 and Rocky 2. Right, he's out there chasing chickens. He got holy sweats and all that stuff. And I know everybody saw Bob. You know, you weren't here when Bob Diaco wore the Rocky. He had his sweatpants up to here and did it like Rocky. He did. There's pictures of it on the internet.
He did a lot.
Yeah. but after he became champ, when he was getting ready to fight Clubber Lang, it was a show.
Champagne.
Right. And he got. And then what he had to do, he got beat, and then he had to go right back to work and get it out of blood, sweat, and tears. And that's where you got to get to. That's how you multiply. Because when you're competing in everything that you do, right? If us three are running sprints and we're all linebacker mates and I don't want to lose to you, that just becomes a way of life. So when we're in practice and we're getting our grades after practice or in the games, I don't get my own individual grade sheet. We get our grade sheet.
But I also, if I'm chasing you, if I can't be beat by you, I can't just work when you're working.
Oh, yeah.
I'm never going to get caught up. If I'm just doing what we do when we're together.
Yeah.
I got to outwork you, man. So the next time we get together, that gap is closer
right.
and closer and closer until we're even. And then I got to outwork you even more.
Right.
Like, I don't understand why that's still missed.
Yeah.
And that's a big part. You and I were texting the other day, and it was about, okay, how do you level up?
Yeah, and that's how you level up. It's all about like what, how important is it to you? How much does it mean to you? Yes, you have a new defensive coordinator. Yes, you have a new offensive line coach. And sure, the techniques can be a little bit different, but really, when you're out there, like when you're playing,
you gotta make a play.
Like,
you gotta make a play.
Every linebacker coach should tell you to get him on the ground.
Make a play.
That's it. Tackle the man, hit him as hard as you can and drive him in the ground. It's not pretty. If you watch NFL football, you watch, except for the Chiefs, they probably had the best form tackling last night.
Oh, they were special.
Yeah, it was both teams.
Oh, goodness.
Defenses got busy. But, you know, generally you want to get him on the ground. You want to block the man any way possible. It doesn't have to look pretty. Just get the job done. And obviously you want to go back and refine your skills. And so when you get into pressure situations, that's where your fundamentals start to come out. And so that's what you have to do if you want to be the best that you can be. If you want to level up, if you want to go beyond Nebraska, or if you want to be beyond what people expect of you going into the season, you can't just say, I need you to call like a 4-2-5, whatever they call it, base defense, and just run cover 8 so I can have a job that I know or I think I can do easily. It takes a lot of time, man, and it takes a lot of sacrifice. There's a reason why some guys make it, some guys don't. Some guys got a lot of talent, and they talk about opportunity versus what the opportunity they didn't take advantage of.
Yeah, and I can't ask you to want to work harder. I really can't. I really can't. As a coach, Harrison and I have this conversation all the time. One of my favorite things about Harrison is that he shows up even when – because he thinks he's needed,
yeah,
and he knows he's needed.
Yeah.
Right? So he does the work. So when chaos happens, Harrison's got an answer. Yeah. You know what? He's got more reps than everybody else. He's been in the fire. He's dealt with more intangibles. Ain't no new surprises for Harrison. Yeah. I wish you find more people who want to work.
Yeah.
Sports is the very same way. Academically, it's the same way. Show me the people that want to work hard simply because it's the right thing to do. Everything else is coachable.
It's a little bit of both, because sometimes I think you don't know what you don't know. Now, you'd like to take a freshman Harrison and put him in this linebacker room, and then we already know what we know to do. So he's just replicating what when me and you were long gone, he's just doing the same things that we were doing. Well, if you don't have that, that's where you got to really be hands-on and push and prod and all that. And it's time-consuming. It can be exhausting. until the light goes on.
Oh, Harrison knows those people.
Yeah. He knows but that's just part of it.
He knows exactly who those people are.
Like everybody sees, and I always say this, everybody sees the end result, right?
Drinking and driving is a decision that will change your whole world. Things will never be the same once you get a DUI, because legal fees and time in court are just the beginning. Getting into a crash is another way your world could be irreversibly changed after drinking and driving. Your vehicle may not be the only thing that gets damaged in that crash. You could face a life-altering injury or even death. But you're not the only one who could face those consequences. Your decision to drink and drive could permanently change someone else's world, whether you injure them or leave their loved ones grieving. The next time you're out drinking, call a rideshare, a taxi, a sober friend, or a designated sober driver. Always plan for a safe ride home. The only decision that'll change your world for the better is the decision to call for a sober ride. It's never worth it to drive drunk. Don't risk it. Drive sober or get pulled over. Paid for by NHTSA.
You see Jordan. You see LeBron. You see Kobe. They didn't work that hard because they didn't know how to work to be as efficient. They learned on the way. And then they were able to take, whether it's constructive criticism, pats on the back, a different process, and they found a process that worked for them. And then guess what? They were willing to add or subtract based on where they were to continue to be the best that they can be.
And they got tired of not succeeding.
Right.
Like so, that's like an underrated value, is the moment when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired.
When you get tired of not winning the games that you want to win in the offseason, then you actively do it. Perfect example, Michael Jordan, obviously the greatest player of all time. He couldn't win in the playoffs because they felt, or people were saying, he wasn't strong enough. He was too much of a finesse player to beat the Detroit Pistons. So they just were hammering him. I remember, I used to watch it on WGN. He'd run through everybody else to beat Detroit. You ain't winning because he wore out, right? So what did he do? Got right back in the weight room, went back to his game. Then they said he didn't have an outside shot. Well, then what did he add to his outside shot? Or what did he add to his game, his outside shot? There's all different types of stuff that you got to that you can do to be the best you can be. And once that mindset changes, then once you become a multiplier, and then the multiplier isn't just asking. Sometimes you got to demand it. Sometimes you really got to draw a line in the sand. It's either you do or you don't. And as long as a coach is willing to do that, say you do or you don't, your feelings might get hurt. But at the end of the day, it'll be better for you. And the team, the T-E-A-M is the most important.
Well, his work, the beauty of it all, we don't talk enough about Jordan when it comes to defensively, how exceptional he was. And they say that, listen, that was his advantage. People were so focused on what he did offensively. It took them 6 years to realize he was all NBA defense,
right?
First team. And went, well, wait a minute. This snuck up on us. Oh, he's beating us because he's stealing 6 boards a game. Well, wait a minute. We thought he was out on the wing. No, sometimes. 5 critical possessions a game, he went and got the ball his dang self.
Yeah.
And said, no, I got this. Let's make it work.
Yeah, so it's it'll be interesting. You got new blood in town, and obviously you get a look-see, you know, ideally with both of them in the bowl game, and we'll see you get a look-see on the team that's going to be fielded out there. You got an opponent. You know where you're playing. You know when you're playing, and you know who you're playing. And so now – you know, you got some guys got to make some business decisions, and that's their right, and you got to respect it. And then the guys that are going to be on the team got a great opportunity to go out there and represent themselves.
And some dudes who haven't been seen.
That's what I'm saying.
Guys who haven't been seen.
If I'm a younger player, because you can play now, you can redshirt and play in the bowl game. Oh, I'll be watching tapes of LT or something.
Have a day.
Right.
Have a day.
You know you're going to get reps. Legit.
You better make them good reps.
Yeah,
so.
yeah especially on defense.
Here they come.
Hey, on defense, if you wasn't taking notes, you better get on TikTok and figure out how to be the best note taker. I'll be at the front of the class. They were like, what happened to him? We got to do D coordinate. I'm tightening up. I'm not tightening up.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Anyway. And eat well over the next couple of weeks.
Hey, I'll be doing it all. Anyways. We'll take a quick break, come back, Jay Foreman, DP. We'll ask you, DP, his thoughts on Indiana. I got some thoughts on that.
Yeah.
Thoughts on Notre Dame.
Okay.
What you would do. All that. And not just Notre Dame, though.
Yeah.
Notre Dame's the big one because they don't have an excuse.
All of
them. Yeah, all of them, but Notre Dame's the worst. Anyway, Jay Foreman, DP Harrison, we'll be right back. What up, 4 o'clock hour, Jay Foreman, second segment, DP Harrison on the ones and twos. We're moving on to college football playoffs. A lot going on. Obviously, Indiana, real quick, was able to upset, or they didn't probably look at it as an upset, beat Ohio State and really – validate who they are and what their program is for the foreseeable future. It was a big victory. I do think, to be realistic, they got Ohio State at the right time. They played Purdue last week. Ohio State played Michigan, but they played hard. They made the plays, and then the longer that they stuck around, and they made some huge plays on defense. Fourth and one stops. Pimped Ryan Day and then kicking the field goal, and they're a tough team. They're even better than they were last year.
What has happened that we've allowed analytics people to get a hold of the fact that points on the scoreboard have less value now than ever before?
It's style points now.
Like if they kick the earlier field goal instead of going forward and getting stopped in the goal line, tie game, there's less pressure on this thing.
Yeah.
Right? You make different decisions along the way. We watched four different games over the weekend where somebody refused to kick a field goal because some analytic popped up that, hey, here's what you should do now. I don't know. That's why they have a scoreboard at the end of each stadium. Let you know points matter.
I think analytics really go out the window when you get in a championships type of game. Because a lot of those are emotion, flow of the game. Analytics don't know whether you like kicking inside or outside. Maybe they do, but they don't understand if you feel confident with it. The coach should know and know his players. And, you know, I'm sure Ryan Day and them have some regrets, but you got to tip your hat to Indiana. They had a little bit more in the tank. They made a couple more plays. They took more shots. They made, you know, 50-50 balls. They had a couple of deep routes that went really well. And then obviously Ohio State was not able to capitalize inside the red zone at all, or the green zone.
Get points.
Yeah, like, get points.
Just and get touchdowns. They, the board.
And yeah. You know what? Here's also what's a really good point that people – I haven't heard anybody say anything. Kirk Cignetti's staff has not changed. Coordinators have not changed. As much as he's won in the last 2 years, you would think that his coordinators, special teams coordinators included, be up for some jobs. And I'm sure they're up for some jobs, but they haven't left for those jobs. Brian Hartline, who 2 years ago was the offensive coordinator, struggled a little bit, then brought in Chip Kelly, won national championship. This year, took it over. The offense started to really catch steam. Michigan was the cherry on top for him. He just got named a head coach at South Florida. Drastically, the offense looks significantly different a week later in ideal conditions, indoor. And so you cannot just gloss over that. Because moving forward, Ryan Day is going to have to think about, well, I know I promised the AD that I was giving up play calling duties. I might have to start calling plays. Because whether you think you can do it or not, and you're in the tournament now, and there's more time for Brian Hartline to focus on what he should be, which is, well, he's committed to two places, but you're the head coach. You're trying to put your staff together. You're trying to recruit. You're trying to portal. You're trying to relocate. Right, you who knows, but you're trying to meet with boosters. You know, you're burning the candle at both ends. Ryan Day is going to have to either start taking over that, or you're going to have to call your boy Chip up and say, "Look, we don't want you for a long time. We just need you for right now for the next month."
But that happens so often.
It does.
Like it's,
but it's hard though.
Well, but to be that super sensitive to overreact. A week ago, Ryan Day was getting everything that he could want from his team.
Mm-hmm.
Literally everything. And then there are three plays that happen in the course of a battle against the number two team in the country.
Right.
And then to become overreactive, there's nothing wrong with Ohio State.
Oh, there's nothing wrong at all.
So for them,
you just have to wonder with Brian Hartline,
uh-huh.
Are you spread too thin? You see it. You saw it last year in the playoffs with Detroit and Ben Johnson. The offense didn't look as crisp. Now, you're in the playoffs because you're in the tournament.
And sometimes they're in your playbook, though.
Yeah, they're in your playbook. And There's nothing wrong with Ohio State. It would be something just to really look into if there's some a little bit of details that weren't, you know, and it's hard to play. You know, look, you went up to Michigan, road game. That was a physical game. And then you got to come back home, recalibrate, get home late, getting pat on the back. Then here you go. You got
well, there's the letdown. There is the letdown between the game because, quite frankly, more pressure on Day to beat Michigan than it was for him to beat Indiana.
And then you go right back to it. So we'll see. A break is probably needed for them to get refocused and try to go back to back. That's interesting. DP, we got a few minutes here. Obviously, the big news, there was a lot of opt-outs of the bowl game teams deciding not to. Now, Iowa State and Kansas State, two longtime coaches. I think they both were there for 10 years, right? At Kansas State and the Chris Klieman, and obviously Matt Campbell at Iowa State. Late in the game, obviously Matt Campbell with Penn State debacle of hiring, late leaving. Chris Klieman never, I don't think a lot of people thought about him retiring. You got to think just last year he was asking for all the Big 12 coaches to band together so they can get more than one team into the college football playoffs. Now you decide to retire. That I could see because it messes up the whole, like the whole program is in flux. There's a kid down there, Ebenezer Okora, who's from my high school. I talk to sometimes, you know, like they're devastated because now he's like, all right, I'm trying to come back and have a big year. Now he's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, he's, you know, so I understand that. That's somewhat understandable. Then you got Rutgers turned down a bowl game, which is, not that's the most un-Greg Schiano thing ever. So you play a bowl game during COVID. Remember during COVID, they were having guys come in from like overseas because he had players that were kickers from overseas and you barely had enough, you know, to play. And then here you have a bowl game. You decide you're not playing because you're what? You're destination. You're only going to destination bowl games now.
Beat somebody.
Right.
All of this is if you want to, you want to fix the thing that bothers you, beat somebody.
Yeah.
Like every single one of those was you had a bowl game. You may have had several bowl games throughout the course of the year. Right?
And you lost them all.
You lost them all. Yeah. Like, listen, there's a way for you to get to where you want to get to and proclaim whatever you want to proclaim. Texas, you can say we deserve to be everywhere all the time. Notre Dame, we deserve. You know what? You had two bowl games during the season that you lost.
Yeah.
Like that's season over. That's just how it works. Rutgers? Really?
Yeah.
That you speaking out? Y'all are speaking out. Y'all should be happy somebody dialed your phone number. You should be happy somebody called you.
My thing is when you go to the bowl game, now I know there's expenses to go down there, right? But you get bowl money. I'm sure you do make some money.
You get bowl money plus expenses. Right?
So you get some money like back to your football program. I'm thinking for a school like Rutgers. I'm thinking for, you know, a school especially like Iowa State, heck, even Kansas State. Yes, it's not ideal. Let's get together and go play a bowl game for the long – thinking, number one, long term, to bring extra money into our football program. It could help with NIL and everything like that. More importantly, I would like to have been in the meeting when they had it here at Nebraska where they decided not to play. I would really like to have been in that meeting with Notre Dame.
Well, because I want to know who instigated the conversation.
I want to know who got the ball rolling.
Who said it?
Because I'd bet. And the only thing I have an example of is when 9/11 happened, before the league shut down that week.
Yeah,
we had a team meeting. In you know, the leaders of the team got up there, and obviously Coach Wade did. Said, "Look, we got to play. Look, this is not ideal, but we have a job to do." So we have to go play. Now, a day later, the league, we took a week off, right? So if a coach says, I mean, it'd be so quick. Okay, I'm coaching. We're playing. All right. Now, who's playing? If you don't want to play, that's your choice. You ain't going to be back here. So if you want to play, we playing.
How simple is that?
How
simple is that?
Right. That's it. This is not a discussion. I'm not taking your vote.
You have 105 plus some. To tell me that Notre Dame could get 60 of that 105 to commit to playing in a game, even if it's the bottom 60, if it's numbers 45 through 105. All the people who don't play.
All your second and third string, you trying to tell me you couldn't get a month
all
worth
the
of
Rudy's and Vince Vaughn's.
And what you getting ready for?
All the Rudy's and Vince Vaughn's. What else you got to do, right? Because you want to do something else is the focus.
Right.
You hadn't planned on having that time off. As a matter of fact, if your player's 45 through 105, you need those 3 weeks of practice anyway. Matter of fact, you need the starters reps at practice. Matter of fact, you need for all the NIL people to see you. You need game tape. You need all of that. So how did you convince people to go, nah, I'm cool.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to wear my sweats, my Notre Dame sweats on New Year's Eve. I'm going to the club.
Yeah, I would have liked to have been in that kind of, I would like to have been in there just to see who started.
Oh, you'd have thrown some drinks, man. You'd have thrown some beverages.
Because you would hate to think. Well, number one, I guess it always falls on the head coach. You'd hate the head coach to come in there and say, I don't think we should play. So now you're influencing the kids. Or you'd hate the head coach to really give a vote. It's not that you're a dictator, but like I'm here to coach football. You're here to play. We got a game to play. Now, however it shook out with the college football playoffs, we're mad about that. Okay, look, we're gonna get plenty of time. We're gonna get you can take 4 days off.
Yep.
All right. We can pout. We can be mad. We can throw things that we can come back to rational, you know, mindset. And then we got to get back to work and work towards playing into, a New Year's Day bowl game.
Well, and here's the thing. If you're talking Notre Dame, they had choices of bowl games. They could have gone to
any
one of
five. That's the only
thing
I'm asking. We got four choices. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, 4, put your vote in, and that's where we're going.
Yeah, like they had choices and money. Like their expenses, this would have been a great negotiating ploy, right? If we're going to make $10 million to go to this bowl game, hey, coach, set aside $1 million and then split it up amongst the 50, 60 players that's going to go, we all in. Yeah. We saw that at the Crown.
Yeah.
We saw that right here at the Crown for a piece of money. They said, you know what? We'll go play. We get cash.
Yeah.
Okay, we in.
Yeah, it's interesting, man. I mean, obviously Notre Dame's got the headlines of not playing. I feel sorry for some of those players that, like the special teams plays, special teams players. They're never going to play any.
Vince Vaughn, you had a chance to correct your reputation, man. Yeah. Don't let Rudy show you up.
You got to think, though, seriously, though, like those guys that played in that last game, you know, family and friends are like, okay, we're going to go see you play your last game. Or your first game. If you're a redshirt, you're going to play in the bowl game. It's null and void now. And you can't tell you just can't tell me that those guys just voted 105 guys. That means if you the majority of vote is more than 50, right? 50%.
Half but your squad.
That's, you're trying to say half your squad. Well, that's the reason why you ain't
winning. That's
win.
Why you ain't winning. There it is.
So there I mean, that's
50 just, players. You can go on road with 50 players.
Yeah.
Plus you got some other dudes. Like that 105 is just a suggestion. Yeah. You got other dudes.
You could really try some things on offense. You got a freshman quarterback. You don't need Jeremiah Love and all that. You could get your third team running back. You can get some of your secondary offensive linemen.
What if he wins the Heisman?
Jeremiah Love?
Yeah.
He ain't winning. That's done now.
Oh, boy.
Even if he was a front runner, which he wasn't, you ain't winning now.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's
– Oh,
it's,
boy.
It's
give me my vote back. Give me my vote back.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. Anyways, we'll take a quick break, come back. I want to ask DP during the break, and I want you guys to text in as well. Is bowl games outside of the college football playoffs, even when they expand to 16 and possibly 24, are those going to be a thing of the past? Jay Foreman, DP, Harrison, we'll be right back. Well, we're back. Jay Foreman, DP, Harrison. Quick segment here before we get to the 5 o'clock hour. We'll talk a little bit of Utah. We'll let DP do DP thing. DP, do you think, looking at these bowl games here, I mean, you got the tax later. I mean, December 13th.
December 13th. You got 2 weeks. You got 10 days.
Yeah. Not even that. Today's the 8th. You got 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Well, five days.
You want your season to be over.
5 days. South Carolina State against Prairie View A&M, Boise State versus Washington. Jet Fish, come on, brother. You're going to Inglewood, though.
That's the Snoop Bowl.
Yeah, yeah. So
you know what that's going to be. You know what their swag bag going to be.
You know exactly. What it's going to be a lot of edibles in there.
Vapor. The vapes.
DP, do you think with the multiple teams dipping out that it's going to be a trend, and all the bowl games besides the big ones will be null and void?
No. No. There are too many people who have been getting paid well from these bowls for far too long. The big issue with college football, the reason why the bowl system and the playoff system had to evolve, the holdup all along was millionaires who own the rights to these bowl games who weren't going to concede. I'm not giving away my meal ticket. So then you have to get sponsors or people to buy into it. Okay, we'll pay you for it. What should happen as the playoff expands, more of the bowl games will have value. So the lesser bowls then get more value.
It should.
You get more value because it's worth more. You're going to end up with teams like Michigan and Minnesota at your bowl game. At the Sarsaparilla Bowl, now you get the Michigan Wolverines.
Yeah.
So instead of all that thing going to pass, instead of that being a, you know, the old Indiana football team, right, who's happy to go to any bowl game, you know, playing Maryland, no, you're getting a bowl game that means something. And all the bowl games atop, so the 15 top bowl games, mm-hmm, all have more value, which means the next 15 have greater value. They all have greater value because those 15 weren't getting the fourth best team from the SEC, right, or the true sixth best team from the SEC. Those teams had to go where they had to go. Now you got some freedom. And now they've moved up because if, just like this year, five SEC teams in the playoffs. Well, those bowl games who got SEC 1, 2, 3, and 4 normally, now they're getting 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah. Right? And those teams are happy, and those fans are thrilled because they're going to show up. And I still get to go to Orlando in January.
And you got depth of
leagues too. Yeah, so. No, those bowls aren't going to, there are too many rich folks tied to them for them to go anywhere.
Yeah, people just had their lip poked out, so they just need their aunt or grandma to flick it. They'll shape it up right.
Hey, for the right when they find out what that swag bag really looked like, and what those checks that go to Tiffany up there at the ticket office.
Somebody coming up a little light on Christmas. y'all better go to the bowl games from here on out. We'll take a quick break, come back. We'll keep DP for one more segment. We're going to talk Nebraska, Utah. Just looking at what Utah did this year. Played a pretty good competitive game against both Texas Tech.
I'm wearing red to Vegas.
DP, we got to find out who your team is in Utah. You're a Utahite, so we're going to see where your allegiance is. Jay Foreman, DP Harrison, we'll be right back.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.